Cosby is on.
Tony, who called, who clearly is like stepping on thorns tonight, calling in. It's Friday night, and that means we have a treat joining us here. We have Curtis Sliwa, of course, the founder of the Guardian Angels, and also Curtis is on for all of our awesome WABC radio listeners. He starts at midnight till 6 a.m., so you can never, ever sleep if you are listening to Curtis. And Curtis, you never sleep. First off, so much going on. You got to fill us in on the migrant situation in New York. Is the weather's getting warmer?
Sure.
And what does that mean, Curtis Sliwa?
Well, most people are unaware that the migrant crisis continues because it's not in the news cycle now. Everything is demonstrations on campuses, Columbia, NYU, CCNY. I get it. But they come in 3,000 a week. So it hasn't slowed down. And now they come in through Jersey. So Abbott sends them to the Secaucus Rail Link, the Lautenberg Station. The New Jersey Transit cops actually escort them, put them on New Jersey train. It's 5 minutes to Penn Station. Catholic Charities puts them in cabs, and they go right to the Roosevelt Hotel and get processed.
So they got the whole network.
Oh, yeah, and get their debit card. Remember, don't forget that debit card. You got to test it, swipe it. It's like $381, you know, a week. It's like, whoa! And they get, they get to choose, well, which encampment do you want to go to? But you had mentioned the Row Hotel.
Yes. Oh, my God. The Row Hotel, which, of course, is the everybody remembers the Milford Plaza.
That's right. All those advertisements to the heartland of America to entice you. Come on in. You know, you go see a Broadway show. You have a nice, you go to a nice restaurant. You enjoy New York City. Spend a whole weekend at the old Milford Plaza. People loved it. Well, they converted the Milford Plaza into a migrant no-tell motel. And these illegal aliens, it cost us $400 a night. That was the first place, remember, that they complained that the food was not culturally appropriate.
They
didn't want to eat the bagel with the schmear. So what did Eric Adams do? He said, Grubhub it. Make sure you get them culturally appropriate food. They want it. Con arroz habichuelas, beans and rice.
Right.
So with a chuleta right on top of pork chop. Okay. Order it. Well, who's paying for it? The sucker taxpayers in New York City. And it's gone downhill ever since. But they had a gang fight right out on the street, 8th Avenue and
with
the side street.
With baseball bats.
I mean, right out of West Side Story, Jets versus Sharks. The cops didn't arrest anybody because they're untouchables, especially these. They're Venezuelans. They have a special status amongst the illegals. And so everything just went back.
They're allowed to beat cops in Times Square?
They're allowed to beat cops. They're allowed to shoplift. They're allowed to boost products, sell products. They bring it down to Florida and sell the products. And they never get charged. And you would think, turn them over to ICE, LIMIGRE, Immigration and Naturalization Service. No, we're a sanctuary city, sanctuary state. We don't cooperate with ICE. So the Venezuelans especially, they've learned after watching on the sidelines for a year that you can walk into a store, shoplift, no problem, no consequences. You can beat each other up in the streets. You can attack cops. No problemo. Nothing's going to happen to you.
You know, my sad reality, I was watching the video of the West Side Story going on in the street, and the drivers were just going by and going like, oh, my God, you can see their face like, what the heck is going on in New York? Because it was broad daylight.
And there are cameras everywhere, so even if you couldn't stop them initially, eventually, through photo recognition technology, you should be able to pick it up.
Any arrests or nada?
Nada. And if they do get arrested, it's a C-summons, which is nothing, or it's what you call a DAT, disappearance ticket. So you basically get it, you disappear. Now, the illegals, they don't wear masks. So they're easy to pick up with photo recognition technology. That's why you see all these young folks with the schmatas on their head, covering their face, the keffiyeh, masks. There's no COVID crisis.
I was going to say, I thought it was COVID again, right? Yeah.
Right, and these are not older people who maybe are still concerned. They may get a respiratory situation. These are young huckleberries. So now when you see them all masked up, they don't want mommy and daddy to find out through photo recognition technology that the $100,000 a year that was being paid to take care of them on Columbia was actually being spent so they could go out and take over the campus, especially the South Lawn, the Quad.
And they're still there, by the way. I mean, no matter how many times the university president keeps giving the extension. By the way, Curtis, we had a caller, a special caller who called in, Tony from Brooklyn. And out of the blue, Tony suddenly starts talking about you and Sid Rosenberg. So you got to hear Tony. And then I got to get your reply, my friend.
I think the problem is outside the campus because you have people like Sid and Curtis that go there and act like giant bullies that want to go there and bully like little 120-pound girls from Livingston, New Jersey. They're not doing anybody any favors.
Tony, what are you talking about? Tony, what are you talking about? By the way, Curtis is going to come up. He's going to be joining us. I'm going to ask him about a 120-pound girl from Livingston, New Jersey. I'm not sure, you know, what's got your hide tonight. But what I will tell you is they're standing up and saying, listen, people should not be terrorized, and Jewish students and everybody should be able to go to class. Well, it doesn't matter if you're Jewish or not. Everybody has a right to go to class. And guess what? They were saying a heck of a lot more than some of the presidents of these universities. And I applaud Curtis and I applaud Sid for standing up for Jewish students and for being fair for everybody. Because clearly you think it's okay. And you think these people spew it with I love Hamas, that that's not destructive. Tony, real quick, don't you think that that is damaging? I don't know about this 120-pound person from Livingston, New Jersey, but I can tell you that when you hear somebody say it, I don't care what they weigh. I mean, and I don't care if it's a man or woman. That's really scary. Don't you agree?
Yeah, the only person that are saying that they love Hamas are the people that people like you implant into these rallies.
We're not planting them, Tony. Stuff. Tony, what is wrong with you? You think that like we're planting people in these rallies? You have got to be kidding me. Tony, you need to go see a psychiatrist. I really wish you good luck because that psychiatrist is going to need a lot of work with you. What do you make of that guy? First of all, it is Friday night, so I guess the gremlins come out, Curtis. But what do you, he's thinking that we plant people there and you're a bully for picking on a nice, sweet little 120-pound girl, I guess, from Livingston, New Jersey, whoever that is.
Well, first off, Tony is using the talking points of the day for those who support the Hamas-loving students who've taken over the South Lawn. Is that they're claiming that all these statements, like that transgender leader, you know, kill the Zionist killer now.
Yeah, Kaimani James. Right.
It's a covert operation, an agent provocateur.
Right.
That he's really not one of them. Hey, he's been a student for years.
He said these things
in January.
He's the leader.
Right.
And when they asked him, Curtis, about it, he was like, oh, yeah, I mean it.
Yep.
I don't mean just to eradicate him here. I mean to eradicate him everywhere.
He doubled down. Now, in terms of the 120-pound young ladies from Livingston, New Jersey,
yeah,
with their little teddy bears.
Who are they talking about?
With their
about?
Little teddy bears as they put the keffiyeh on their head for the first time. First off, he obviously does not listen as closely as he gives himself credit to. On Monday morning, Sid announced in the morning, starting at 6, that he was going to go to Columbia University and take his stand to defend Jewish students. Because remember, that weekend, their head rabbi said, go home.
Right.
Leave. It's too dangerous. And the first one to say he would join Sid was not me. It was Anthony D'Esposito. The congressman texted him right away, I'm with you.
Right.
Then Congressman Lawler. Then Bruce Blakeman, county executive, Nassau County, and then
Nicole Malliotakis.
Right, but then the actor guy, I forget his
name. Oh, yeah, Michael Rappaport.
Right,
yeah,
you know, hates Trump but loves Sid. Anyway, so they all, and he asked me, are you going? I said, I'm not going, and I'll tell you why. If the Jewish kids ain't going to stay and fight for what they know is right, forget it. That's their battle.
So was he falsely putting you in there just because he assumed you would be fighting the fight?
You see, I was talking about 1968, the last time they took over the campus.
So I guess he got his years, his decades mixed up.
He got that, and I was saying, hey, that's when the JDL started, and Mike Kahani said every Jew at 22. But I said, no, I'm not going up there to fight your battle. I said, you're King David II. Oh. Ever since October 7th, Sid, you're King of the Jews.
So you're leaving it to Sid.
Get up there.
You're leaving it to Sid and Michael Rappaport.
Yeah, well, he's Jewish too. In fact, he was originally the one who chastised me because he goes, Gentiles can't say Jews. You know, they can say Jewish people, but not Jews. And I said, wait a second. They wrote a book, One Tough Jew. What are you talking about? So he's like, mezza, mezza, poco, poco.
Yeah, no, it was an interesting.
He's like,
I agree.
Half and half.
Yeah, I got like all these others. And then I was like, Michael Rappaport. It was
well,
a weird combo.
It was good to have him because he's typically seen as bashing Trump.
I agree.
Although,
refreshing.
I got to tell you, of late, he has said, if given the choice tomorrow between Biden and Trump, he'd vote for Trump.
Just like Bill Barr.
Yeah.
Bill Barr, who a former AG who's no fan. By the way, speaking since you're on the campaign trail here, this just came out a little bit ago. President Biden in New York doesn't go to the campuses to finally show a little moral clarity. Doesn't do that, Curtis, right? God forbid. But he finds his way to Howard Stern's show, and he made this announcement.
I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to debate him.
I'm happy to debate. He sounds like a ball of energy, Curtis. What do you think?
Man, that would be like Mike Tyson versus Pee Wee Herman when he was alive. Come on. He's not in shape to debate Trump. Trump every day, he's like a Gatling gun. You know, he's nonstop from 6 in the morning to like 12 midnight.
Yeah, he showed up 6:30 at the construction site.
Right.
You know,
down the block from where we broadcast.
Right.
I pass there every morning when I join Sid. And it's interesting because the day after, some of them were still on a euphoric high because, you know, they're not used to getting anybody dropping by, especially in the morning. They get them their cup of coffee before start their work.
And they loved him. You heard they were chanting.
Exactly. I just can't imagine Rip Van Winkle there.
I can't either. But by the way,
Joe Biden doing that.
He is not just Rip Van Winkle. He is Stud Van Winkle you got to hear this. This was a doozy that he dropped with Howard Stern, Curtis. Listen to this one.
I got put in that 10 most eligible bachelor's list.
Because you were a United States Senator, you were a catch.
And,
yeah.
And so, and a lot of lovely women, but women would send very salacious pictures, and I just give them to the Secret Service. I thought somebody would think I was, and I just gave up.
I gave up, or they gave up, or we all gave up.
That is very weird.
Yeah, it was bizarre. What did you make of that? Translate it for us, Curtis Lewa.
He's trying to sound hip and happening. You know, it's just like he says, I'm on TikTok, but I want to ban TikTok. Hey, you're an old codger. Act your age.
Right. First of all, can you imagine anybody sending pictures to him? It was just bizarre.
And then, I listened to the interview. He told another whopper.
Oh, yeah. He
told about he was on a porch with a black family and he got arrested.
Right.
I mean, this is like when he traveled with Andy Young to South Africa, who used to be the ambassador for Carter to the United Nations, mayor of Atlanta, and said, I got arrested while trying to visit Nelson Mandela on Robben's Island, which was the prison. And Andrew Young said, we never got arrested.
Right.
What is it? He got arrested on a porch.
Maybe Corn Pop was there.
That's right.
Remember Corn Pop?
Corn Pop.
I mean, can you imagine? Who are these women sending Joe Biden, naked pictures?
You can't let this guy talk. He tells a whopper every time.
Yeah.
Now, everybody's going to say, well, when did this happen? Right. You were on a porch with a black man. Next, it's going to be, and the Klan was trying to burn down the house.
And then Uncle Bosie brought the cannibals.
Oh, yeah. And now there's an international episode. The Prime Minister of New Guinea wants an apology. What do you think? We're all cannibals here in New Guinea?
Right. He's like, we want an apology. We're not known for cannibalism.
Right. You know, he conflated his story. It was Rockefeller's son, Michael.
Right.
1962, he was looking for exotic primitive art that Nelson, his father, loved.
Right.
And apparently they turned on him and may have cannibalized him. What the hell does that have to do with you and your uncle and World War II, Army Corps? He got shot down over the Pacific.
You know it's bad when the Pentagon came out with the statement and said, the engines went down, I think, over the water, and there's no evidence that Bosie ended up as a dinner.
You know, a president would be guilty of a faux pas, like Bush 43, and that would dominate the news for like months. Now it's every time he speaks.
Right.
You expect it. If he doesn't deliver one of those whoppers, you're like, hey, I want a rebate on this.
Yeah, right, exactly. It is a doozy. Oh, my God. Curtis Sliwa, thank you. And thank you for responding to Tony, too.
Oh, yeah. Tone, trust me. I'm not going up there to stalk 110-pound girls from Livingston, New Jersey with their teddy bears and the schmata on their head.
I'm glad we cleared that up. Thank you very much, Curtis Sliwa. And everybody, again, tune in to Curtis. He's going to be on at midnight to 6 a.m. on the other side of midnight, starting in just a few minutes on WABC Radio for that and a whole bunch more, everybody.